Good morning.
Today's reading comes from Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. It's going to be really hard for me not to sing it. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Bless the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning, our scripture reading is the Beatitudes, sometimes referred to as Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes contain 8 blessings. In the Gospel of Matthew, this sermon is Jesus's first public act in his ministry. In it, he identifies 8 characteristics of discipleship. In other words, these are the behaviors that he wants his followers to exhibit in their own lives. The reward for such behaviors is this thing called blessedness. Blessed comes from the Greek word makarios, which means to be fortunate or privileged. Blessedness is not necessarily the same thing as happiness, which is a state of being content, or holiness, which is a state of being devoted to God. I like to think of blessedness as a state of being with or feeling particularly connected to God. You'll notice that throughout the Beatitudes, Jesus promises blessedness, particularly in the midst of hard human experiences. Things like mourning or meekness or peacemaking, persecution and poverty of spirit. It seems that being blessed isn't necessarily to make us happy or particularly holy, but for the sake of making it through that which is difficult. I didn't fully appreciate what it means to be blessed until my sister and I found ourselves caring for my mom after her hip replacement surgery. As some of you know, my mom hasn't had the easiest recovery. Her hip deterioration before the surgery was pretty severe, and she's been in a lot of pain during her recovery. Emily, my sister, and I underestimated how much care she was going to need immediately following the surgery. It became very clear to us that someone was going to need to be with her overnight. My sister, being the saint that she is, took the night shift the first week after surgery, and I took the night shift the second week. As anyone who has cared for a loved one knows, caregiving is challenging, but ultimately holy work. Particularly caring for one's parent, who, through no fault of her own, is sick. And when people are sick, they tend to be a little bit cranky. In addition to my mom's hip pain, she's also going through menopause, which means she doesn't sleep well on good nights, which means whoever is with her overnight isn't sleeping well either. Mom's lack of sleep is prolonging her hip recovery, and my sister and I's lack of sleep led us to our breaking point. During those really difficult moments of caregiving, I got to thinking, what does blessedness look like in the midst of the hard human experience of caring for a loved one? Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." People who are poor in spirit are the people who aren't full of themselves. Because they aren't full of themselves, they can identify and empathize with other people's pain. These are the people who are somehow able to put other people's needs above their own and be really present with those who are suffering. Folks who are poor in spirit are able to show us what open lives lived in service to others look like. They are the ones that you call at 2 a.m. when you're sick or when your car breaks down, because you know they will drop everything to help you. I've learned that caregiving requires a poverty of spirit that doesn't come naturally to many of us. I learned this when I was in the waiting room waiting for my mom to get out of surgery, and I watched 2 grown siblings screaming at each other because they disagreed over the direction of their dad's care. As I watched them arguing with each other, I learned that it's actually really hard to put another person's need above your own when you didn't get enough sleep, when maybe there wasn't time to eat breakfast, or when you're worried about the emails that are piling up in your inbox. In caring for Mom, I learned that my sister is actually a really exceptional caregiver. She's able to keep a list in her head of when my mom needs to take her next dose of medicine and somehow remember that the litter box needs changed too. She's great at asking the exact right questions during Mom's doctor's appointments. She's also really good at encouraging my mom when she's had a bad day. For someone who caregiving doesn't come as naturally to, it was wonderful to have such a good role model. But the most important thing I learned over this last month is that just because caregiving doesn't come naturally to me, this doesn't mean that I shouldn't do it or that I have an excuse to get out of doing it when I need to. I suspect that as we read through the list of Beatitudes, there are certain behaviors that will come more naturally to us than others. For example, I would rather moderate a tense meeting than take Mom to physical therapy appointments, but I'm sure there are some among us who would prefer the physical therapy appointments over meetings that are going on forever. But I don't think Jesus shares these blessings with us so that we can pick and choose the behaviors that come more naturally to us and which ones we'd prefer that someone else do. Ultimately, the Beatitudes are a call to live a life of holiness and righteousness in response to God's grateful deeds in Jesus. We are not going to be great at every single one of them. But we do our best when life presents us with an opportunity to practice one of them, to embody them. Because we know that this is the holiness that Jesus expects from those who call himself his disciples. You'll notice that these behaviors are unnatural and perhaps countercultural, but that is exactly the point. The point is for us to practice behaviors that prepare us for citizenship in the kingdom of God. And also point others to a kingdom where the lowly will be exalted and the mighty will be brought low. A kingdom that began with Jesus' birth, one that is spelled out in the Beatitudes, that culminates on the cross, and that will be completed when Jesus returns. Friends, if we choose to follow Jesus into God's abundant life, then we will need to conform to the behaviors of kingdom living. And one way to do that is to welcome opportunities to embody the Beatitudes in our everyday lives. See, kingdom living is a responsive life. God acts, and we do our best to respond in ways that are faithful. But we are only able to respond because we know that we are blessed. We know that God is with us always. Nothing we can do will change this. So we practice kingdom behaviors in response to our love for our God, who promises to never forsake or abandon us. My question for us this week is, how will you respond to God's blessing in your life? Because if you take nothing else away from this sermon, I hope you take away that you are blessed. Even if it may not feel like it all the time, God is with you always, even and especially during the hard moments of being human. Now, not all of us are going to be given opportunities to care for a sick parent, but all of us will be given opportunities to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to pursue peace, or to be persecuted for our faith. Jesus challenges us to respond to these opportunities with patience, meekness, gentleness, and poverty of spirit, knowing that we do so not from our own merit, but because we believe and we know and we hope that our God is with us always. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.